Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more online at Piedmont. You know, this show is already going. I never should. You know, David, I should have just invited you.
Well, I told you. You knew what you were going to get when you asked us both to be here. So.
If you want us to be serious, we'll leave now.
This is the tag team of broadcasting here. We have Gary and David Williams from Williams and Fudge. We're going to do a nice show, I hope, today about their 35th anniversary, which is about a month behind us. And you're already acting up, Gary, so you need to behave yourself.
I'm just getting ready for slice.
Guard. All right, so we normally start the program with some introductions because we're growing so fast as a community. We new people just don't know who the older people are. So since you're the senior member here, Gary, I'm going to get you to tell us a little bit about your background, if you would, please.
Hi, we came to Rock Hill in 1975. Peggy and I built and operated a putt-putt golf course till the mid-'80s, and we started Williams and Fudge in 1986, and we're on our 35th year, as you mentioned. Peggy and I have been married now 49 years. We have two wonderful kids, David and Alice, and six grandchildren that are fantastic. And David's a grandfather now, so that makes me a great-grandfather.
Well, he is getting old, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
We have a beautiful 10-month-old as well, too.
David, tell everybody a little bit about you.
Well, I came to Rock Hill in 1976 when I was born,
and I was there.
Yeah, a year after they moved here, and grew up here. Went through Evanport, Sullivan, Northwestern, and met a lot of great people. And then went to Presbyterian College, and then I went out and worked on my own for a few years down in Augusta, and then Greenville, and that's where I met my wife and or my now wife and. Moved back here and started working with Williams and Fudge in 2000. So I've been here just over 21 years now.
My.
Williams and Fudge, yeah.
And has this community grown in 21 years or what?
And a little trivia, his college roommate was?
Well, Warren
started
Norman.
With Warren Norman, yeah. So,
They're still talking to each other. All right, so how did you, Gary, go from I'm going to hit the little golf ball at the putt-putt golf course into what you have built today? I mean, where did you get this idea that I'm going to get in the college loan collection business?
Well, without a doubt, the Lord's blessed us because I'm not a very smart person, but I do recognize smart people. So we've always spent a lot of time keeping smart people around us. But I was in miniature golf, and I wanted to do more than that. I worked for a small regional agency. And their vision was what it was. And a guy named Neil Fudge and I thought we could do it a lot different, a lot more efficiently. And so we started in July the 18th, 1986. And I bought Neil Fudge out in 1990, November of 90. So since that time, it's been a family-run business and brought David in and Alice does community work for us. And Peggy and I have been here to support a great staff. I mean, without a doubt, it's the people we hire that make our company.
So your first staff, if you can remember, how many people besides you and Peggy?
Peggy, Neil, and I, and that was it.
That was it.
It was the three of us, and then we gradually, we were 10 years old and only had about 15 employees. So our growth occurred from the 10th to the 20th years when we really grew.
And was that intentional, or did it just happen all of a sudden people liked what you were doing and you had more demand for your services than you could handle with the existing staff?
Well, we established ourselves and we got involved in our trade association, which, as you know, is very important. And our trade association gave us a bigger image, a vision of what we should be. And, you know, as you know from your trade association, look at other people and go, well, if they can do it, I can do it. And so we grew in the 90s tremendously, and and then moved to a cotton factory in 2006. And
we're going to get into that in a minute.
100 to 300.
All of a sudden, I have music in my ear.
Is it good music? We can't hear it.
I don't know. I'm just...
Do you see a bright light or anything?
I don't know, but I hope somebody can get this. Wow. It's like a whole other radio station. It's a country music station, which is pretty good.
Okay. One of yours, probably.
Could be one of ours.
Well, that was interestingly... Can they hear me with the music, or do you know?
No, they cannot hear you. So I'll tell you what... I don't know what we're going to do here. Tell you what we're going to... Yeah, that's Interstate 107. It's a good country music station. They tell me... they're telling me I'm okay, even though I can't hear anything but that radio station. So why don't we just take this off here? There we go. We'll just continue. Sorry for the interruption here. Just up here a little bit. So your first place of business, where did you first operate from?
We went to the BTC. David Vipperman was directing the Business Technology Center out there across New York Tech. And we started one little office over there, and that was a small business incubator in 1986, very involved with the Rock Hill EDC. And we were in there for 2 years, and then we moved over to Tech Park for 12 years.
12 years. Now, you got to tell the story, Cliff Notes version. Were you here for that, David, when they started the cotton factory project?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so you chime in. Keep him straight because he's getting older. And he's
okay.
Some of
all
the
right.
Details. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, when I came back, we moved to Ashton 100, which is out by Target back there as Manchester was starting to develop. And you were talking about earlier how Rock Hill's changed during this time. When we moved out there, it was the McDonald's was out there, and that was pretty much it.
You could cross the intersection with a stop sign.
Yeah, on Dave Lyle. So we saw all that growth happening. And then as we moved forward, we needed some more growth. And I think that the story goes that my dad and Doug Eccles, who, interestingly enough, his son, Chad, is a business partner of ours and our attorney and a great friend. But they went to, Durham. Tour around to see what they had done with some of the old buildings up there and came back. And Dad came in and was like, all right, he got us and a couple of our management team. And our management team is phenomenal, and they always have been. But we went downtown. He's like, I want to show you where we're thinking about moving. And so we went downtown, and we pull up at this old building. And growing up, I was like, well, I thought that was like a place where you had to go with your mom to get towels and socks and stuff from when it was Pledges.
Yeah.
So we go in, and all the windows are bricked up and everything. And we're walking through. Can't see anything where we're going. And, you know, you're stepping on these old boards and with wind water and all this stuff. And I was like, I don't know. This is kind of crazy. You know, we don't even know if we're going to, each step we take is the cotton factory floor going to fall through. Well, fast forward a couple years, we know that thing ain't going anywhere because it is really well built. But so we went down there and toured around, and he said, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to move down. And I guess the rest is history on that part.
Well, it's that really is a Cliff Notes version, because once you decided to take this thing on, I always remember the story that you obviously needed a lot of help from the city to pull off this project, because that building was literally falling down from all sides. And if I remember the story correctly, you got together with the city manager at that time, who was...
Kerry Smith.
And I believe your comments were along the lines that I'm going to get this project done in 1 year, and I don't need any obstacles or headaches or, you know, anything that's going to get screwed up by a large bunch of, you know, things that I have to do and don't know about and what have you. And you set up some kind of a round table where all the department heads got together.
All the department heads showed up once a month, and they would put obstacles. I mean, they're abiding by the rules. I'm not objecting to the city, but they would go by the code and the rules. And Kerry Smith wouldn't say overrule the rule. He would say, how can we make this where it works? And Kerry was a big bridge builder. And he did a real good job with his department heads of saying, let's see how we can make this work. So we did it in 9 months, actually, rebuilt an entire cotton factory, including 312 windows.
And they had to use the sledgehammers on the windows. They were bricked up, and they didn't want to use anything more than a sledgehammer because they were afraid all the brick would fall off that building. So it was a sledgehammer for each window to knock the bricks out of the windows that were...
One at a time.
Yeah, one at a time.
It was built in 1881 by one of Hiram Hutchinson, Chip Hutchinson's great-grandfathers.
And you had to do the construction in such a way as to meet the criteria to get the historic tax credits.
National Park Service was very important to us, as well as city code and state code. We had to comply with everything with the National Park Service.
All right. So you went from Tech Park, and you had roughly how many employees at Tech Park?
I think we left with 151.
151? Yeah. Really?
Well, that Tech Park was before we went
to Ashland. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Tech Park, we had about 15.
15. And then your next stop, Advance.
It's Astra 100 out by Target.
All right.
And we moved in there right around 2000. It was right, 1999, because it was right before I started. We moved in there right before I started full time, yeah.
So then when you came over to the cotton factory, you brought all those people.
And that was 151.
And then you just started to grow the enterprise even more.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I think that time we grew a lot between like 2006 and 2015 with employees and with clients, because we really, the foundation they built for, you know, between 1986 and 2000 with my dad and Bob Perrin, who has been a fantastic leader for our organization and continues to be, they built this thing. And so when we came in 2000, we hired, there were several sales reps that came at that point, including myself and Chris Rue and some other people. That's how I started, is in the sales area. So we've got a good brand in 2000, and then we go out, and even us that may not be the best salespeople in the world, we're able to sell the business. And we got into Florida, and we got the state of Florida contract, state of North Carolina contract. And then once we did that, we were able to go from school to school and sell, you know, on our services. And we talk all the time, like, when we're selling our company, we're selling the people that are part of Williams & Fudge, because we do it the right way. The thing that he taught me that I'll always remember is, if you hire the right people and let them go, then you're going to be really successful.
And that's the key
thing. What we do.
That's the key thing.
It's a very important element. Any success.
It's all about people. It always will be about the people.
Yep.
And I think probably one of the most unique things from those of us who are on the outside looking in is how, I mean, you do a lot of fun things with your staff. I mean, fun thing, probably the most visible one is the annual bike and trike run that Williams & Fudge has been doing for God knows how many years.
Yeah, when you two were younger, y'all used to race each other.
That
now we watch.
That's been a lot of fun, and we work a lot off the case method, copy and steal everything from our friends.
Or share if you want to be more
politically correct. Or share if you want to be a little more proper about it. But guy down in Texas, on a friend of mine, he did a trike race. So we started with just trikes. I think the first year we had 38 trikes.
Yep.
And we tore up a couple of trikes. So
yeah,
yeah. It wasn't competitive. It was fun.
We realized that they wouldn't hold 200 plus.
Yeah, so we're doing 200-300 bikes a year now. But it just started as another way of having fun. But David's done a lot with his management team of just really creating with everybody at home. I mean, David can tell you a lot more about what we're doing to create the excitement of a company.
Well, you morph right into where I was going. We all felt this thing called the pandemic. It hit us right in the nose about a year ago, a little over a year ago, and everybody had to shutter at home. And how did you handle that? Because you got a heck of a lot of technology over there in that cotton factory.
Well, you know, for years we spent a lot of money on disaster recovery and what we would do in case of, you know, a fire or a flood, or, you know, somebody would say, or if we ever have a pandemic and everybody kind of go, ha, 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 like that's ever going to happen, you know. And so the money that we spent and our technology folks put a lot of time and effort into building that disaster recovery program. So on March 19th, when everything started happening, you know, the NBA players and then the schools, all the stuff that was shutting down, we basically said, all right, we're going to send everybody home. And it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen, because people went home that day, they were working the next morning from their house, and we really didn't miss a beat. And it was, at that time, they were using their own equipment, and because they were able to log into our system, and all of our many, many security protocols that we have to follow were in place, because they were logging in from their personal computer into our system. So, you know, we were in good shape from a security standpoint. And it was really, really cool to see everybody at that point being willing to really step up and do what we need to get the job done. while they're also teaching their kids and all the other stuff that happens.
That's what's amazing to me, how people pulled off their work responsibilities, particularly younger parents who are home with kids that have been sent home from school.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you concentrate on what you're supposed to do when you're trying to get your kids educated or they're fighting with each other or whatever else, but you were able to pull it off.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, and, you know, we try to provide a flexibility for people to be able to work when they want to work and then be able to hand. We've always done that, and that didn't change when people went home. It's like, all right, well, if you need to do this at this time of day, then just get your time in whenever you can throughout the week, you know, and that's that worked well for us. But, yeah, I mean, it's a complete testament to the people that we work with because everybody was willing to do what they needed to do to, because we had to keep taking care of our clients, you know. I mean, there's, you know, things just don't stop, right? You still got to work. You still got to pay bills. Employees still have to pay bills. So there was a lot of juggling that we did.
Students needed to be in school. So, you know, when you collect $200+ million a year for loan programs, it's important that we keep going.
Yeah, I mean, those schools are depending upon you to collect that money.
That's right.
That's how they're operating. So how many schools, colleges, universities, do you all represent now? I mean, when you started, what was it? Can you remember the very first school you got?
Oh, we remember our first client. Elon. Elon was my very first, and we still have them numbered, I assume. They're still numbered. Client 1, 2, 3, 4. Dr. Gettelfinger was one. You know, we had our first schools, Pfeiffer. I mean, those are the first ones that I went back out to after I'd resigned and said, I'm starting over. Would you like to do business with me?
How about that? So how many now do you have? I mean, is that something you
it's could... right around 1,500.
Whew,
yeah.
Lord.
You know, all 50 states, Hawaii, Alaska. So, yeah, it's been... there's not many of the larger ones that we don't work with, and it's been fun to see that growth because, like I said, we go into one area and kind of, you know, flood the market, so to speak, and then one of the big things that happened a little bit later, probably 2005 or so, we got in and out, or maybe a little bit after that, but got in out in California. No, it was probably 2005. Got in out in California and really pushed the West Coast. And so we've got sales reps now that live all over the country that are, you know, calling on the schools and stuff out there. And the schools are really hungry for education. So that's one of the things that we've tried to do with our clients is to educate them on, you know, the different laws, the different regulations, bankruptcy, statute of limitations, what you can and can't do, how you best support your students, how you best get the money back. And because, you know, they're kind of on an island sometimes when they're in the business office at the college or university.
Well, and I know from talking with some of the people that work with you, I mean, what they do is, these are my words, not yours, it's very regulated. You can only do certain things in terms of trying to collect past due amounts, and then you have to move on. I mean, you just, you know, it's the way that your business operates.
It is. The rules are very tough. I mean, you deal with a lot of rules through the FCC, and we deal with a lot of rules. I mean, even they have new regulations now that the notice, the letter we sent out, they're telling us how to write the notice, what's got to be on the notice and everything. So the hours we can talk, we have a lot of federal and state laws that we comply with, and we have staff that do full-time compliance issues.
So you got 1,500 schools all over the country that you represent. Does that make you in the category of your industry? Are you one of the larger college collection loans?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're the largest privately owned that specializes in that market. We're probably the largest one that specializes in that market. A lot of companies do. We've started to diversify some, but a lot of companies do a lot of different things. They may work with hospitals or credit card companies or
cable companies.
So, you know, after this scare of this past couple years and seeing how quickly people were talking about forgiving student loans and different things that was going on, it's like we had talked about diversifying for a long time, and we really have started pushing that. And we've got because we've got the infrastructure in place with our contact center solution, with all of the regulations we follow. I mean, we've got FDCPA, FCRA, Reg F now, CFPB. I mean, it is on and on. And a lot of people do, and I get it. But, you know, and not to mention all the attorneys that are willing to call us and challenge us as well. So
you can keep Chad Echols busy.
We do. We like him so much, we want to make sure he's as busy as he can possibly be.
Chad keeps us safe and compliant.
Yeah.
He and his attorneys and staff do a phenomenal job supporting us.
Integral part of Williams & Fudge.
So when you talk about diversification, what kind of areas are you getting into now?
Well,
categories, I should
say. We've started looking at some communications companies and some other things that we've recently looked at and will continue to look at and kind of see what fits. But communication companies is one, and then we'll see what else happens from there.
All right. And with that, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Jared Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. If you're going to do it right, hold it up. I mean, hold it up. You got to hold it up. We got fresh slubs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. How do we do it now at the count of three? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden, 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 garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
When your health needs attention, you'll find compassionate care at Piedmont Medical Center. We make it convenient to treat emergencies with online check-in at locations in Rock Hill and Fort Mill. Or if you live with a heart condition, our cardiologists provide advanced treatment options to help you live better. And for pain that slows you down, a minimally invasive surgery can help speed you on to recovery. We are your community built on care.
PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 41066.
Comporium Medical Alert.
It was important that my siblings and I recognized that Dad wanted to be independent, but we also wanted to be able to make sure that he was okay. So we started researching medical alert systems. Then we found this system. It's a little button that he can wear around his neck as a pendant or on his belt. He speaks directly into it, just like he's talking on a cordless phone.
But my kids and grandkids are the most important thing in the world to me. I don't like to ask for help, but it is nice to know that if I ever need it, it's just a touch of a button away.
For complete details, go online to ComporiumAlert.com.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to andersongriggs.com.
We're glad to see things are getting back to normal, and it's great to see everyone eating in and us getting a chance to catch up with y'all. This is Charlie Ruffalo. If you don't have time to sit and enjoy your lunch with us, I would suggest you order online at mysubstationii.com, and you can be in and out of the store in under 5 seconds. Just give us enough time to make your order before you arrive. We're open Monday to Saturday, 10 to 10, and we're still able to do catering 7 days a week. Once again, I want to thank you for your support through this pandemic. It means a great deal. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop. David and Gary Williams are with us today from Williams & Fudge. They've been doing a great job in the community for 35 years, not only with their business, but also with all they do to make the community better. And, I mean, it's a long list of stuff. And I don't want to get into all that, but I know that both of you have got deep-seated beliefs in how important it is to support the community, give back to the community, which has helped you grow to what you are today. Gary?
It really has. This community has blessed our family unbelievable, and it's blessed a lot of people in this community. Rock Hill is a great place to raise children, grandchildren, and now a great-grandchild. So you understand it and what your sons are doing to help with the community as well.
And we are doing this show today, interestingly enough, when the news broke this morning about the loss of Ann Springs Close, who just really was the ultimate philanthropist, I guess we would say, somebody who just cared about the community all the time, did so much for so many people, and had the ability to do it. And I know you, Gary, and you, David, both had some relations with Ann in terms of things that she helped out with.
Did. I had a pleasure working with Ann since 85. I was a little young guy looking for a scout money fundraiser and got involved with Bill and Ann Close, who Bill was one of our big fundraisers, he along with Barnes, for the scouting program. So I got to know her then and know a lot of the kids that are very active in our community, and the kids are in their 50s and 60s now. But I guess serving on the Greenway board, Ann Springs Close Greenway board, I got to know Ann in a very personal way. And I think I'll never forget about her. She cared about this community because she cared about the people. And her daddy taught her this, and she taught her kids this. By the sweat of their brow, we've been blessed. We have opportunities in life by the sweat of their brow. She was well aware of the 35,000 people that worked for Springs Industries and how hard they had to work. And that's why she or Colonel Springs and she and the kids all care about our community.
Well, and that's a valuable lesson that you and Peggy have placed in the next generation with Alice and with David. And David, you've had some, one-on-ones with Ann involving with this project that you and Alice are involved with, Miracle Park.
Yeah, when we were talking to them, and of course they supported Miracle Park like they do everything around. And it was funny because we had some numbers that were on the paper, and Warren actually was explaining to her like what it was, and we were at this point we didn't have the numbers all finalized, and she looked at him and said, "Earlier you said it was going to be $8 million, and now you're saying it's going to be $6 million. So which is it?" And so so that was, very impactful. But, you know, I think that Alice walked in, and she does a lot in the community for us, for our family, for the company and all of that. But what Ann Close did for this whole community is show a lot of us what it means to give back. And, you know, you go to the Greenway and you see what they've done up there and all of the ways they're involved. I mean, we wouldn't be where we are without that family in this entire, you know, really probably three-county area.
Well, in fact, if you just take a look at the Ann Springs Close Greenway, 2,000 acres, that's three times the size of Central Park in New York. And had that buffer not been put in place, we may have been like Pineville in terms of getting sucked up and lost our identity as to who we are and what we do. And I always remember when Lash came to the community, the lady who was the president of the company got up there, and we were broadcasting that ceremony live. And she said, "I want to tell you that one of the main reasons we are here is because of that Greenway. Because our people can walk right out the door, go over there and ride their bike or push their kids and do whatever they have to do and enjoy life." And that's very, very important to us. And this whole thing called quality of life, whether it be the Ann Springs Close Greenway or the new Riverbend Park or all these ballparks we have here, Miracle Park, probably the best example of the community trying to be something for everybody.
Yeah, and I was talking to somebody from another part of the country the other day about it. They've just moved down here, and one of the exciting things is we still have land and we still have space and we still have opportunity to do it the right way.
Right.
To do it the right way for now versus what it may have been years ago.
Well, David and Gary Williams and Peggy and Alice, congratulations to everybody on 35 years. Job well done, by God.
Thank you.
Job
much.
Well done. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Caporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, Gary, I want you to see how I do this, right? There's a reason, right? Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. Anybody who hangs out here enough knows exactly what I'm talking about. 1, 2, 3. Slice.
Garden.
You guys are terrible. You got to come back for retraining. Have a wonderful weekend. High school football tonight at 6 o'clock. Bye.